The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus came down the mountain, he stopped at a level stretch where there were many of his disciples. A large crowd of people was with them from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Then raising his eyes to his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you poor. The reign of God is yours. Blessed are you who hunger, filled shall you be. Blessed are you who are weeping, you shall laugh. Blessed shall you be when men hate you, when they ostracize you and insult you and prescribe your name as evil because of the Son of Man. On the day they do so, rejoice and exult, for your reward shall be great in heaven." Thus it was that their fathers treated the prophets. "But woe to you rich, for your consolation is now. Woe to you who are full, you shall go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, you shall weep in your grief. Woe to you when all speak well of you. Their fathers treated the false prophets in just this way." The Gospel of the Lord. When our Lord comes into the world, he turns everything on its head, which makes it right side up, because when he entered in this world, everything was wrong, and he made it right. But he did it in a very paradoxical way. He did it ultimately through suffering, through sacrifice. And so as he gives us the example, and as we are encouraged in the responsorial psalm today to be blessed as they are the ones who hope in the Lord, we learn from our Lord by his example that we are to find our joy in things that the world rejects. Our Lord opposes, you know, the blessings and the curses, and he says that we will be blessed if we are willing to suffer for love, and that we will be cursed if we are selfish. And so it's really everything on its head. You know, he tells us that being poor and hungry and to be sorrowful and to be persecuted even is to be blessed, and to be filled, to have consolation, to laugh, these things in his analysis are to be cursed. Of course, we could oversimplify all of this, but we need to understand what it is that our Lord means when he tells us that we will be blessed if we do these things. In English, you know, sometimes the translations say happy are the poor, and sometimes blessed are the poor. Both translations probably are important to help us appreciate what it is that our Lord is saying. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to find our rest and consolation in the works of virtue and in following the path that he has laid out for us. But there's also a sense in which this is a blessing. You know, we've turned the word blessed or blessed into an adjective, but it comes, you know, from the past tense of the verb to bless. So to be blessed is to be blessed by God. So it's something that we receive from his hand. And we receive that blessing, we receive the peace and happiness that only he can give, when we are willing to follow in his footsteps, follow the path that he has laid out for us. So when our Lord says, you know, when he gives us the Beatitudes, he's really giving us the pattern of his own life, which he continues to exemplify during his public ministry, and which he most perfectly exemplifies as he walks towards Jerusalem and ultimately is betrayed and crucified. But of course, we know this is not the last word, as St. Paul tells us today in the letter to the Corinthians. You know, if Christ was not raised, our faith is in vain, our faith is worthless, and we are the men most to be pitied. None of this would make any sense, you know, finding blessedness and happiness and poverty and hunger and grief if our Lord didn't rise from the dead, if he didn't ultimately conquer suffering and death and turn it into something beautiful. Through our Lord's sacrifice on the cross, he has turned pain into sacrifice. He has combined pain and love and turned it into sacrifice, something which is precious in the eyes of God. We're told in the scriptures that precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. And so as we try to fulfill the commandments of the Lord and walk a path of righteousness, we look forward to and we experience in this walk that we are engaged in, we experience the blessings of God. But we have to open our hearts and our minds. When our Lord says that we are blessed in poverty, we are to find joy in detachment from worldly things. You know, to the extent that we open our hearts up to God, that means that we have to make room for him. We have to cease to constantly be seeking our pleasure in the things of this world. All of us need to practice some measure of detachment. Of course, the friars are, by virtue of their vocation, are called to do it more than lay people, but all of us need to put God first and not allow other loves to come between us and him. And if we do that, that's an effort, certainly. There's an effort that's involved there. There's a discipline of life. There's a sacrifice. There's a certain amount of pain that's involved there. But it's not just for its own sake. It's not asceticism or suffering for its own sake. It's suffering for the sake of the Lord, out of love for him, in order that we might taste the goodness of the Lord. And so at the beginning of everybody's spiritual life, we always have to remember that there is this discipline of detachment that we have to engage in, but we do it for the sake of joy, the joy of experiencing the Lord. There's also consolation in tears, sweetness in tears, if we are willing to recognize that we are in need of God's mercy, and that our humility, our willingness to turn aside from the path of sin, to humble ourselves before the Lord, also opens us up to his presence. You know, there can be holy tears, and whether they're physical or just deep within our hearts, you know, there can be this cleansing and purifying experience of the mercy of God when we are truly humble and repentant. When we, for example, are meek, which doesn't mean weak, but it simply means that we have goodwill towards others and we are willing to forgo the indulgence of anger when we have to deal with other people, even if sometimes we have to disagree or say no or oppose other people. We do it in a manner which is selfless, not selfish. When we are willing to forget ourselves in that way, also we open ourselves up to the blessings of God, to his happiness. People who are angry are not happy people. Anger, St. Bonaventure defines as a fear of suffering. And so, you know, when we recognize that the opportunities to deal with one another, to forgive and to be generous and open-hearted and broad-minded in our dealings with other people requires some sacrifice on our part, it also opens us up to the presence of God and to the happiness that comes from generosity. You know, our Lord curses those who are full of themselves and cut themselves off from other people. And he blesses those who are willing to forgive and be generous. And so we see, you know, that in these blessings that the Lord bestows upon us, it's purifying. It cleanses us from our own selfishness. But it doesn't stop there. You know, it goes on to you know, the blessedness of experiencing justice and mercy, and being an instrument of justice and mercy for others. You know, balancing the things that we do in this life so that it leads us to communion with God. We all have things that we have to do in our life, our work, you know, our duties as husbands, wives, parents, religious and priests, that keep us very busy. But when we ultimately realize that it's all meant to draw us closer to the Lord, you know, we don't put success at the very, you know, success in business or in anything really beyond, above the contemplative life and love. Mother Teresa said that God doesn't expect us to be successful, only faithful. You know, and that's the way we balance out our active life, you know, through justice and mercy, which is directed towards pleasing God ultimately, and recognizing that God's providence is with us. You know, as he tells us many times, don't worry about what you are to eat or what you are to wear. You know, every hair of your head has been counted. You know, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else shall be you know, added unto you. If we can put our head on the pillow at night, and even if we've committed sin during the day, we've made an act of humility, and we can say that we are right with God, we can have every confidence that God is going to provide. God is going to give us what we need, and that is a blessing. That's a blessing, to recognize the providence of God in our lives, even in spite of the fact that things don't always go our way. But that continues to move us forward in the spiritual life, to the blessings that come to us from purity of heart. You know, the light of purity. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Single-minded love for God, recognizing his presence in everywhere and in all things. Recognizing the opportunity to serve him everywhere and in all things. And recognizing that while we all have desires and interests that are perfectly pleasing to God, that those things will give us joy to the extent that our ultimate purpose is to please him, and to know that we are doing everything in our power to serve his cause. There's also the blessing that comes from the peaceful, who become the children of God. You know, there's a peace in loving God and loving our neighbor. The peace that comes from true generosity of spirit. A lot of times people don't have peace in their life, don't have consolation, because we're turned in on ourselves. We're constantly looking at our own interests, our own likes and dislikes, and we find ourselves very often dissatisfied. And we need to open our hearts up to others, and ultimately, of course, to God. And when we do that, we do indeed find a blessing and happiness. But the thing that's most disconcerting, where our Lord really turns everything upside down on its head, is where he summarizes all of the Beatitudes by saying that we will find ecstasy, you might say, in persecution. That ultimately all of God's blessings are fulfilled and made perfect in us when we suffer for the sake of his kingdom. But our Lord has proven it true. Like I said at the beginning, you know, he exemplifies everything that he talks about. And he ultimately shows us that the mystery of beatitude, of perfect happiness, is found in the complete and perfect sacrifice of the Lord. Everything that this is the foretaste of heaven, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. This is as close we get to heaven in this world as is possible, receiving Holy Communion. But it all comes to us by way of our Lord's sacrifice, his death and resurrection, his complete outpouring of his love for us. He gave everything, held nothing back, poured everything out. And you know, it cost him everything. Every pain and suffering imaginable, our Lord underwent for love of us. And that's the wedding feast of the Lamb. Our Lord on the cross and Our Lady, the icon of the Church, standing beneath the cross. The two hearts united perfectly in an act of contemplative love. That's the ecstasy of of prayer and the divine life. That's the foretaste of heaven that we have in this world. But, you know, it's all dependent upon our willingness to make that sacrifice, you know, to pour ourselves out when the chips are down, you know, when it's necessary. You know, like a mother staying up with her sick child, you know, like married couples sticking it out no matter what the cost, you know, priests, you know, getting up in the middle of the night to go out and anoint someone. And that, by the way, I wanted to point out that today is the World Day of Prayer for the Sick. And, you know, one of the greatest blessings that we can possibly have that's connected really with this eighth beatitude of suffering for the sake of Christ's kingdom is to die a happy death. It used to be that in the church we were all encouraged to pray for a happy death, which meant a provided death, meaning being getting absolution and the anointing and viaticum, communion, on our deathbed. And we're not always encouraged to do that nowadays. And very often, priests, you know, are called in to the hospital or into the home after someone's already in a coma. You know, after they can no longer receive communion, no longer can make an act of the will to receive absolution. Priests can still conditionally absolve and anoint. You know, but we should all want. It's an obligation, really, that we should all try to receive the sacraments, and we should all make sure that our relatives do. You know, each and every one of us should tell our relatives, make sure you get me a priest. You know, that's the first thing you do, is get me a priest if something happens. We should all insist on that, and we should do it in the hospitals too. It's everyone's right, and we should all insist on it and not take no for an answer. We have other things to do first. No, get me a priest. Get my father a priest now, because it's extraordinarily important, and it's a grace of God to prepare us for the last moment when we are weak, when we are tempted. The devil very often comes to people on their deathbed and tempts them. I've heard this. I was just giving a talk yesterday about this. Someone came up to me afterwards and she said, you know, you're perfectly right. My husband was on his deathbed and he was talking about seeing the devil and hearing the devil. And we started praying the rosary, and he started having more peace. Then we got the priest, and he came in and anointed him, and he died a very happy and peaceful death. It's very, 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 very important, and it's something that all of us need to be aware of. Of course, the sacrament of the sick isn't only to be administered on one's deathbed. It can be done when anybody has a serious illness, which could be the beginning of one's end, or serious illness which requires surgery. These are all perfectly legitimate reasons for the anointing of the sick. So it doesn't mean that when the priest walks through the door that he's the grim reaper and it's all coming to an end immediately. But we shouldn't succumb to that temptation to think that if you bring a priest in, the person's going to die of shock. It's not going to happen. You know, but a lot of people, they won't call the priest until the person's already in a coma because they don't want to upset the person. You know, in a real sense, this is a matter of life and death. You know, it's the last struggle, and the devil is there. And our Lord instituted the sacrament of anointing that we might have that strength. And he wants us to receive communion on our deathbed, if at all possible. And so don't worry about a person being shocked. You know, it generally is just a myth. And most priests know how to handle people. But we all want to have the blessings of God and experience those blessings in this life. It hinges upon our own generosity. Two things we have to remember in the context of the Beatitudes. One is pain. There is a reality to the cross that is part and parcel of our destiny as Christians, as followers of Christ. Unless you pick up your cross and carry it, you cannot be my disciple. And this is written throughout the Beatitudes. If we cut the cross out of the Beatitudes, you know, it's full of holes, and it doesn't make any sense. But the only thing that can make sense out of pain and suffering is love. And our Lord is the one who transformed all of this through love. Love is the answer and the measure of everything. And it is ultimately the answer to the question, why do we suffer? And especially, why do the good suffer? Because our Lord has loved us enough to redeem us from our sins and to pour himself out. And he's made it possible for us to experience happiness and joy and his blessings when we accept the cross. Let us turn to our Blessed Lady and ask her to teach us how to live the Beatitudes and how to experience the blessings of God, because she, more than anyone, understood the mystery of suffering, sacrifice, and of love, as she alone, completely in fidelity, stood with our Lord at the foot of the cross and offered her heart in union with his. And while she suffered, she also experienced with him an ecstasy of love. May Our Lady teach us that we will be happy if we hope in the Lord and entrust ourselves to him.